Dear friends in Christ, I bid you grace, mercy, and peace in the name of Christ our Lord and our Savior. Amen. As the bulletin cover indicates, the theme, that of taking up and bearing our cross. I think of Jesus bearing his cross on the way to Mount Calvary. And I recall a crowd there alongside the way looking at Jesus bearing his cross, at least for a time before Simon of Cyrene was conscripted to assist and to help finish the journey because Jesus' weakness, the result of his trial and the beating and so on. But initially, Jesus carrying his cross and the crowd watching and the wailing and mourning that is going on in regards to that moment. From reading, some of this is merely a function of culture in the sense that at the time of death, there is a cultural a value or custom of this wailing and carrying on. and so that kind of creates some space between the crowd and Jesus. But I wonder if perhaps there were others, you know, there seeing what is happening and connecting the moment of Jesus, his word and his miracles, his compassion upon the crowds, and the rising of expectation amongst the people. You know, perhaps this is the Messiah they were thinking, and all the associations that the healing, the providence, the sustenance of need, and God's presence, you know, immediately in their midst, that this would be sustained, that it would prevail, and thus the mourning, the crowd looking at Jesus bearing the cross to Golgotha. Is that the perspective that we have towards Jesus and his carrying the cross? How sad, how terrible. What a travesty. What a failure of all the expectations and the excitement. Palm Sunday and the procession into town and all of that. Immediately in their ears and their hearts. Is that the perspective? And then if we move from the crowd and the culture and all the expectations, and we move into the heart and the soul of Jesus, is that the same moment in carrying the cross? Woe is me, I have this cross to bear. How unjust, how unholy is this moment, how terrible and how tragic. Is that the contemplation of our Savior? I think not. Absolutely not the thoughts of our Savior. But if we were to know and to look into the heart of our Lord, we would hear and know what has been written of him. For joy, the Lord shouldered the cross in all of its shame and its humiliation. We could hear in that word then the sense of, why does Jesus bear this cross? He turns to the crowd, he says, look, don't have pity on me in this moment. Don't wail, don't cry for me in this moment, rather, wail and cry for yourselves. That is, if you're looking at death and saying, oh, that is the most awful, worst thing that could ever happen, there is a moment worse than simply physical death. And that is death without Christ. That is death without salvation. That is death without the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. And that then is the reason that Jesus bears the cross. He bears the cross in love and compassion for all of humanity. He bears the cross with a sense of gratitude that the Father has sent me for this, in all of its suffering, and all that he has endured, and so on. This is the full, undivided, loving expression of his heart for the crowd and for all those who will hear and read of the account. This is the love of God being shown. And so Jesus then sees that moment through its culmination, his actual physical death for the purpose that lay beyond. And so he says to us today, if you think you are finding your life, all the things that you think you need so desperately and want to have and cherish, all that is attached to your sense of satisfaction or success or whatnot, just perhaps in the midst of all of that pursuit, you have lost your very soul, the core of your life and your being. Just perhaps you have entirely missed the boat. You have missed the concept and the truth that in losing your life for Christ and for the kingdom of God, therein is the discovery of wholeness and peace with self and with one another and with God. Unless you take up and bear your cross, the Savior says, you are unworthy of me. May the full weight of that law rest upon us to recognize how beautiful, how wonderful and lavish is the love of God for us in Christ. For only then do we follow in his steps without the wailing and the grief of the crowd. How pitiful, how sad that Christian. Look at how life is being missed and is passing them completely by. Look at all the things that they give up for the sake of spending time in worship on the Sunday, the Sabbath, to acknowledge God and to give him glory and praise and to rejoice in his gifts and his blessing and his sacrifice. Oh, life is out here and not there in the sanctuary. And the list goes on. All the myriad ways in which we sidestep the acknowledgement of the cross. Wearing one is not too tough. And some may even think, here is my protection, a talisman against the evils of the world. The cross is much larger than anything we may hang around our neck. It indeed is borne across the shoulders and bows us down. It takes away life at the same time that it gives and restores life. For in the death of self, suddenly is the realization of the fullness of the presence of God in putting self aside. All the values and the easy way that we might fit in with the mode and the trend of culture and society and whatnot for the sake of not being seen as a scourge or a blight over here. The identity in Christ and in the salvation that he has won for us, there life is transformed. For we, you and I, do not simply need an obedience of picking up something burdensome to carry around. We need the full transformation of our whole beings to take us from an inwardly turned kind of animal to an outwardly freely giving creature, a child of God, loved of God to the point of being able to say, I know through and through, there is nothing, absolutely nothing in heaven or on earth that might separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Absolutely nothing. No virus may assault me. No other evil may become me. God's love embraces, God's love upholds, God's love transforms each, every, all moments. And so to you in Christ, my brothers and sisters, my family whom I've lived with these 11 years, this moment of transition, once again, one in which God's love abounds to you as you seek his will and his guidance this day, and with the will of God, extend a call to a candidate and then pray that this is the right thing, that God works through his will, his heart, and his soul, the sense of, yes, this is proper and good for me. Simply, once again, the providence of God's love for you in Christ and the fullness of this blessing. We are also told, there is no mind that has conceived, no heart begun to fathom the fullness of God's love for us in Christ Jesus. In that moment, in that spirit, any rejection, any spurning, any isolation you or I may bear in reference to faith and belief in Jesus, the Son of God, 'tis little more than a toothpick across the shoulders. Not the big log, but just a little bit compared to what Christ has done for us through his suffering and his death. Therein is love. We journey then forward in time. We journey together. We journey with our Savior in our midst. And we step boldly into that which God has for us in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. He indeed meets all of our needs with his gracious providence. But God bless and keep you in his grace, his peace, and his love. In the name of Jesus, the cross bearer. Amen.